Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, a season of reflection and repentance, a season of returning to God, of remembering who and whose we are. And that remembering begins with our baptism. Baptism is our theme this Lent, as each week we look at the promises that are made to us and the promises we make through baptism. The worship resource that I use each week says that this is the season of baptismal immersion in the death and resurrection of Christ. When Jesus was baptized by John, the sky opened and he heard God's voice say, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And with the voice came the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. Since the earliest days, the followers of Jesus have associated baptism with water with the coming of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist tells his hearers that the one who comes after me will baptize with water and the Spirit. In the book of Acts, to be baptized with the apostles also means receiving the Holy Spirit. When we do baptism in this church, we make that connection with the Holy Spirit explicit when we say, "We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Spirit, you give your children new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life." Then, laying the hands on the head of each of the baptized, we pray, "Sustain this child with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever." You've probably heard me say that's one of my favorite prayers, and we're going to unpack each of those gifts of the Spirit throughout the season of Lent. Then we make a sign of the cross on the forehead of the baptized and say, "Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever." In baptism, each of us is named and claimed as beloved of God. Now notice that Jesus' baptism is one of the first things that happens, particularly in Mark's gospel. It comes before his ministry, before he preaches and heals and feeds and serves. He hasn't done anything yet to deserve this accolade from God. That is simply where God begins, with love and delight in God's children. And the same is true for us, my friends. By the work of the Holy Spirit, child of God becomes our primary identity. Before we are spouse or sibling or parent, before we are teacher or student or engineer or musician, each of us is a beloved child of God. Immediately after Jesus is baptized, the Spirit drives him out into the wilderness, where he is tempted by Satan for 40 days. There are many ways to understand the wilderness. Literally, Jesus is driven out into the desert land of Palestine, where there is little food, little water, a harsh environment. We might remember that centuries before, the people of God had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, dependent on God, tempted to complain, tempted to look for easy answers or other gods to guide them. And during that time, God had given them food and water and God's own presence to lead them. One of my favorite new books that I found this past year is called Into the Mess: Reflections on the Life of Christ by Debbie Thomas. And she explores this idea of wilderness and what Jesus experiences there. Consider who and what populates the wilderness that Mark describes. We have the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus, we have Satan, we have wild beasts, and we have angels, all together in one place at one time, coexisting, not for an hour, an afternoon, or a day, but 40 days, which is the Bible's handy way of saying a very, very, very long time. It's worth holding on to this image of Mark's crowded desert, because the austere and complicated landscape that Mark describes, the bizarre menagerie of despair and solace, of isolation and accompaniment, is where we live. This is the realm where God's work of holy repair begins. The same gentle spirit who descends on Jesus as a dove, the same delighted God who tears the heavens open to assure Jesus he is precious, that same God hurls Jesus into what feels like oblivion. Not because Jesus is sinful or faithless, but because he is dearly loved. At his baptism, Jesus hears the absolute truth about who he is. That's the easy part. The much harder part comes in the desert, when he has to face down every vicious assault on his identity as God's treasured child. In the wilderness, Jesus has to learn a kind of love that is independent of external circumstances. The same is true for us, my friends. In our life of faith, wilderness can take many forms. But at its core, I think wilderness is the experience of the unknown, the uncontrolled and uncontrollable. We may be faced with grief, anxiety, or depression. We may learn that the ways we've always thought about our life or faith isn't holding up to the realities we face, and we have some unlearning to do. We may be growing older and realize that things haven't turned out the way we'd expected and hoped, or feel the anxiety of not knowing what's going to happen next. Sometimes it feels like we go into the wilderness every day when we get out of bed. Anyone? How often have we heard in recent years, in relation to a pandemic, to our politics, to climate change, we've never known anything like this before. These are hard times we're living in. So perhaps we may consider who and what populates our wilderness. We may feel like we are faced with wild animals and evil forces. We too may be tempted by voices that tell us to turn away from what we know is right and true, to take the easy way out, or simply to give up. We may feel alone. But the truth is, we don't always see or feel God's presence with us when we are in the wilderness. But so often we look back on a period of challenge and think, oh, I wasn't alone. God was with me all the time. Whatever our experience of wilderness, when we know that God accompanies us there, our faith is strengthened. Again, Debbie Thomas writes, "The unnerving truth is this: we can be loved and uncomfortable at the same time. We can be loved and bereft at the same time. In the wilderness, the love that survives is hardcore. It's flinty, not soft. Salvific, not sentimental. We don't learn to trust it quickly. It takes 40 days, 40 years, lifetimes. In our baptism, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever, which means we are never alone. God's Spirit always accompanies us, even in our deepest wilderness, even when we don't feel it. And God's angels, too. In the care of friends and neighbors and the kindness of strangers, in flowers that bloom in spring and the golden leaves of fall and the mountains blazing fuchsia at sunset. In the book, we pick up just when we needed it, or a moment of peace in the eye of the storm, or someone who says, "I'm praying for you." God's angels minister to us and draw us back to God again and again. And if we take time to listen, we hear again and again, "You are beloved. You are enough." Parker Palmer, a Quaker theologian and writer, talks about the experience of being accompanied by God in the wilderness as being pressed down onto ground on which it is safe to stand. We don't always feel like we've got a very steady ground beneath us. But Palmer says, if you allow the Spirit of God to press you down onto ground on which it is safe to stand, then you can fall all day long, and that secure, steady ground beneath your body, the ground of God's own being, will hold you. So I know that some people like to give something up for the season of Lent. And if that is something that is meaningful to you, that's great. And I hope that you'll go ahead with that. But this Lent, I want to ask you to take something on. To try something that might be new to you. Or if it's not new, maybe give it some special attention this season. I'm going to ask you to take time each day this Lent to remember your baptism. It's a very Lutheran thing. In the shower or at the sink in the morning or before bed each night, make the sign of the cross on your forehead where it was sealed in your baptism or cross your body and say, "I am baptized and beloved." We're going to try it now. You repeat after me. I am baptized and beloved. I am a beloved child of God. Remember that. And if you find yourself in the wilderness in these 40 days, may those words be a reminder of who walks with you and holds you and gives you ground on which it is safe to stand. Thanks be to God. Amen.